All right, welcome to the Young Turks, Cenk and Anna with you guys. As you all know, we do a lighthearted show oftentimes, but there's tons of serious stories. Plenty of serious stories today, so not in the best of moods. So buckle up, brace for impact. For all of you out there that are members, don't forget Power Hour with Nina Turner tonight at 8 p.m. 8 p.m. Eastern. Sorry, I had to struggle with math there a little bit. You're gonna love it.
Yeah, I mean Pacific. My bad.
We're into heroes and villains. What would Nina do? You guys absolutely love it. We'll talk more about it later. All right, Anna, let's get started.
The House has ended up approving a new piece of legislation, a standalone bill that provides $1 billion to fund the Iron Dome in Israel. Now, this comes after AOC and other progressives in the House of Representatives had blocked the measure, the provision in the stopgap bill earlier this week. Now, obviously, it's really interesting to see how quickly House Democrats get together and pass a standalone bill that provides funding for Israel. But in terms of how the vote went this time around, there were some changes. So let's talk about it. The measure cleared the House in a bipartisan vote of 420-9. Also, 8 Democrats and 1 Republican voted against the funding for the missile defense system. 2 other Democrats, Hank Johnson of Georgia and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of New York, voted present. So the 1 Republican, by the way, who voted against it is Tom Massey of Kentucky. Now, AOC actually changed her vote from no to present. And then there was a strange moment on the House floor where you can see her being embraced by other Democratic lawmakers as she's crying. So let's take a quick look at that.
By Mr. Lawson of Florida, pursuant to House Resolution 8, I inform the House that Mr. Lawson will vote nay on House Resolution 483 amendments. He votes nay.
Just to give you some more context into this story, the United States is not somehow abandoning Israel by not voting in favor of that $1 billion spending bill for the Iron Dome. In fact, Israel is getting a ton of military assistance to the tune of $38 billion, which was approved by the Obama administration in 2016. In fact, the US has already provided $1.6 billion to Israel for Iron Dome batteries, interceptors, co-production costs, and maintenance, according to a 2020 report from the Congressional Research Service. So it's unclear at the moment why AOC decided to change her vote from no to present. Of course, there are speculations as to why that happened, and I guess that's what we'll talk about now before I get to any of the other details. So Cenk, what do you think?
Yeah, so it's a terrible vote. And the reason it's a terrible vote, indisputably a terrible vote, is because you voted present. You're right there, we see you. Either vote yes or vote no. Here's how many people you're gonna gain by voting present. 0, none, everybody's pissed. Left wing's pissed, right wing's pissed.
Exactly.
You think people aren't gonna call you anti-Semitic? Of course they're gonna call you that anyway. That's what they always do. That's always the trash argument of the right wing, the establishment media, your own Democratic leaders. You gain nothing by voting present. Nothing at all. Now there's some legitimate political electoral reasons that some of the progressives voted the way that they did. Jamal Bowman's district has a significant Jewish population, very progressive otherwise, but sometimes, yes, tends to be supportive of Israeli governments even when they're right wing. So you take that into consideration, like you maybe aren't as stringent on gun rights or gun restrictions in West Virginia or Montana as I would be. I understand everybody's got different factors that influence their decisions. But first of all, make up your mind. Second of all, okay, you're crying, but I don't want to pile on to that. I feel bad for you. It's genuine. But at the same time, it really doesn't affect how I view your vote. Vote's either good or bad. And then if you're wondering why some of the other progressives might have backed out, can we be honest here for a second? Democratic majority for Israel spent millions of dollars against Nina Turner and helped to defeat her. So are some of them cowards because they're worried about Israeli right-wing lobbyists? And if, by the way, if you're in corporate media and you say, oh no, they don't exist, I can't believe you're saying that they're in favor of Israel and they're right wing and they're lobbyists. Well, do your goddamn job and be a reporter. What are they then? What are they? That's exactly what they are. And if you get offended by that and you want to help the establishment be more right wing, you're not a journalist. Just go get another job, be a plumber or something. So yes, I'm sure some were intimidated by that, which makes me disgusted. And the lobbyists in this country are sick. The whole system is corrupt and sick. And if you take certain votes, you're gonna get millions of dollars spent against you and they're gonna try to end your career. So that's part of the issue here. And let's be clear what I mean by they, for all you liars out there who like to call everybody anti-Semitic if they don't support the right-wing apartheid government of Israel, okay? No, by they, I mean all the lobbyists, former lobbyists, oil lobbyists, banker lobbyists, Israeli lobbyists, oh well, Israeli or not Israeli, I mean they support the massively right-wing government of Israel, etc. Said I'm tired of it. Saudi lobbyists, I don't care. Defense contractors that are thrilled. Guys, this is ironic because I love Iron Dome, okay? But we already gave $38 billion. This is, by the way, just so you know, this is not so that Iron Dome exists. This is an additional $1 billion. They said, it was kind of damaged when we were killing the Palestinians. Was it? I thought you said Iron Dome blocked almost all those missiles. I thought you said the Palestinians were impotent and couldn't really kill you guys. And you mocked them and said, ha, we protect our civilians, but we get to murder your civilians. And so how did Iron Dome get damaged? I got $1 billion of damage in that last conflict? No, it didn't. You're lying. It's for money for Raytheon. It's money for another contractor, and it's money for Israel. And so, are we doing Iron Dome for Palestinians? And no one in Washington would. By the way, of all the things I've said now, they will consider that the most radical. Protect Palestinian lives? Are you insane? Well, no. We get to kill their civilians and say it was accidental.
So Washington does think that's radical because there happened to be one progressive who had the courage to stand up there and say exactly what needed to be said, and that was Representative Rashida Tlaib. I'll get to her speech first before we get to her fellow Democratic colleague, essentially implying that she's anti-Semitic. Let's watch.
Not implying, he's saying it. I got words for him. We'll see that in a second.
All right, let's
go. You want to call people words? We can do that. All right.
We cannot be talking only about Israelis' need for safety at a time when Palestinians are living under a violent apartheid system and are dying from what Human Rights Watch has said are war crimes. We should also be talking about Palestinian need for security from Israeli attacks. We must be consistent in our commitment to human life, period. Everyone deserves to be safe there.
And I don't think that's a controversial statement at all, right? Especially when you look at the asymmetrical treatment by the United States toward Israel and Palestinians, right? I mean, Israel gets an insane amount of funding. And in this moment, I mean, they were gonna get additional funding in the next National Defense Authorization Act. That's where the additional funding is usually approved with no problem. They get it with bipartisan support. This was the one instance where progressives had a little bit of leverage in the stopgap bill, because Republicans, of course, are not gonna vote in favor of funding the government for political reasons, right? That's why they use their leverage in that regard and they blocked the passage of it. Not because they don't believe Israel has a right to exist, but because why are we needlessly adding additional foreign aid and funding to Israel when we're already giving them tens of millions of dollars, tens of billions of dollars, according to that military aid agreement that took place under the Obama administration. But anyway, I just find it so fascinating that whenever it comes to issues at home, whenever we need to pass legislation funding issues at home, it's nonstop negotiations, nonstop nickel and diming for months and months and months and months. This piece of legislation got written up and passed within days. But when it comes to helping out our fellow Americans, unacceptable. Anyway, here's Rashida Tlaib's fellow Democrat, Ted Deutch from Florida.
Mr. Speaker, we can have an opportunity to debate lots of issues on the House floor. But to falsely characterize the state of Israel is consistent with those, let's be clear, it's consistent with those who advocate for the dismantling of the one Jewish state in the world. And when there is no place on the map for one Jewish state. That's anti-Semitism.
So all these years, they told progressives, hey, don't be mean to your colleagues by calling them out on all their corporate contributions. They're all obviously corrupt. They take lobbyist money to the tune of millions of dollars. But shh, don't say it, because we're all colleagues, beloved, cherished colleagues, and all about unity. And what does Ted Deutch do, and every other Democrat, every corporate Democrat, every establishment Democrat do the minute there's a slight disagreement? You're an anti-Semite. You're the worst person on earth. You're a bigot. You're this, you're that. What happened to unity? What happened to unity? Is Pelosi and Hoyer and Clyburn livid about the lack of unity? No, they don't care. They don't care at all. They're like, yeah, go insult Rashida Tlaib. Spit on her, kick her, do whatever you gotta do. She's a progressive and a Muslim. It doesn't count. You can do anything you want to her. Progressives, wake up. These people are not your friends. They're literally your opponents. You think Ted Deutch is gonna vote with you on this issue? Does it look like it? Or half the issues? Gottheimer is the one killing all these bills, let alone all those guys who on the prescription drug bill, etc. Now, Ted Deutch, you like to call people names. Well, why don't we give Iron Dome to the Palestinians? Why? I guess you hate Muslims. Because your argument was, if you don't give Iron Dome to Israel and extra funding for Iron Dome for $1 billion in repairs that are obviously mythical, okay, to Israel, you're for dismantling it and you hate all Jews. So if you don't give Iron Dome to the Palestinians, by definition, according to your own argument, you hate Muslims and Christians who live there. You hate Palestinians. You're a bigot and a racist, Ted Deutch. You are a bigot and a racist. And by the way, that's actually real. You think Ted Deutch thinks that we should treat Muslims the same way we treat Jews or Christians? Of course not. Of course not. And he says, oh, can you believe the one democracy, beloved, cherished Israel in the Middle East? And they only have nuclear weapons, and the biggest military that's ever been built, the United States behind them, and billions upon billions of dollars. And they kill civilians over and over, and they've continued an apartheid state for over 50 years and crushed the dignity and the respect and the humanity and the rights of all those Palestinians. But if you dare oppose it 1%, you're an anti-Semite. My ass, we're not gonna take it anymore. Ted Deutch, you hate Muslims. It's super obvious. You don't want them to have the same rights, and you're a goddamn bigot. Okay, are we even now?
It's just incredibly frustrating. And yeah, the vote from AOC was pick a side. The half measures don't work. No one's happy with the half measures. I mean, you have case study after case study of Democrats carrying out half measures. So if you're worried about your district, then vote yes on the funding. I mean, there's a reason why she's getting a lot more heat right now than Jamal Bowman is.
You know what? Somebody wrote in our YouTube super chat with an excellent point. Moondragon said, how about $1 billion for Haitians?
Exactly, I mean, it's such a great point.
So yeah. Israel is a wealthy country, and we're giving them $1 billion for repairs, okay? And the Haitians, we say, go back to your goddamn country. Live in squalor, after the earthquake, after all the natural disasters, after the assassination of your president, after economic havoc, which by the way, we in America started in the first place. Haitians, if you said, let's give them $1, people would take your head off in Washington. But an extra $1 billion for Israel for a problem that doesn't actually exist. So the defense contractors can get rich, and the Israeli right-wing government can get rich. It's disgusting. And yes, it's racist and bigoted. They would never do it for Haitians. They would never ever do it for Haitians or Palestinians or anyone who's brown, and you know it.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we've got more news for you, including Mitch McConnell actually being right on what Democrats should do in regard to the debt ceiling. I wish Democrats would listen. We'll be right back.
All right, back on TYT, Jake Hanna with you guys. More news.
The Senate is expected to vote on raising the debt ceiling, so the government is funded up until December of 2022. But the Senate also has a 50-50 split between Democrats and Republicans, meaning that the legislative filibuster would require 10 Republicans to vote in favor of it in order for it to pass. Mitch McConnell has made clear that not a single Republican senator will vote in favor of it. In fact, he says that if Democrats want to fund the government, the best way to do that is to pass the legislation through the reconciliation process, which requires a simple majority. They can certainly do that. They could also certainly completely get rid of the Senate filibuster, which I think would be a really, really good idea. But we'll get to that in just a moment. McConnell said on the Senate floor Thursday that it would take Democrats about a week or a little more to use the so-called budget reconciliation procedure to raise the debt limit. Senate Democrats have so far resisted employing the tactic, saying that the effort should be bipartisan, as it has been in the past. So I want to go to this video of Mitch McConnell. He gave a press conference, and I don't know, maybe Democrats should really call his bluff. We'll see, but let's watch.
We have a Democratic president, Democratic House, Democratic Senate. They have decided to, with the possible exception of infrastructure, all year long to operate on a partisan basis. A $1.9 trillion bill earlier this year that all of us oppose for darn good reason, and this reckless tax and spending measure, which could range from $3.5 trillion to $5 trillion. So my advice to this Democratic government, the president, the House, and the Senate, don't play Russian roulette with our economy. Step up and raise the debt ceiling to cover all that you've been engaged in all year long. So no effort on their part to describe our position as irresponsible makes any sense, because the facts are indisputable. This is a totally Democratic government. They have an obligation to raise the debt ceiling, and they will do it.
No, but he's right. He's actually right. And we gotta be honest about that, okay? Congress controlled by the Democrats, executive branch controlled by the Democrats. There are no excuses, no excuses. They could scrap the filibuster if they wanted to scrap the filibuster, but they won't do it. I would argue that that's a far better way to do it, and it would show strength. Instead, Democrats are like, but we want to do this in a bipartisan way. Why? Why? I don't get it. Man, the Democratic Party, let's just keep it real, incredibly embarrassing. In vote after vote, issue after issue, the most embarrassing party. Okay, the cowardice, the weakness, the naivete, I can't stand it.
Okay, so there's two parts of this. One is the portion that Anna mentioned about McConnell being right about the Democrats. I'm gonna get back to that in a second. But first, let's talk about the things he's wrong about. Over the top hypocrisy. So he says, And guys, that's why I keep saying one of the main culprits is the mainstream media, because look at what he says. It's just amazing. Is there a single reporter in the room? He said the Democrats are playing Russian roulette with the economy because they won't raise the debt ceiling. All of the Republicans, including Mitch McConnell, are voting no on raising the debt ceiling.
I know, but Republicans are gonna Republican, Jake.
No, I know. No. But Anna, you and I know that. But how many Americans actually see that? Because no reporter ever says, hey, by the way, the Republicans are goddamn liars.
Of course they don't say it.
Of course they don't say it, because they're not reporters. They're not media, they're not journalists. They're just stenographers for the people in power. It's all a game, it's kabuki theater. If there were a single journalist who wanted to actually do the creed of journalism, which is comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable, they would say, wait, Senator, I don't understand what you just said. You said it's playing Russian roulette with the economy and you're voting no. So aren't you playing Russian roulette with the economy? Isn't every single Republican playing Russian roulette with the economy? And by the way, here's the second piece of hypocrisy. You all voted to raise the debt ceiling under Trump. So you voted no under Obama, yes under Trump, and no under Biden. Doesn't it seem like maybe you're trying to tank the economy and hurt the American people on purpose for your political agenda? Now those things are super obvious, and you won't get any reporter in media to say it, because they work for corporations. They're totally corrupt. The reporters, the editors, they're all in on the game. It's absurd to not raise the debt ceiling. All it means is we're gonna pay our debts. We've already incurred those debts. This is not a budget bill where you decide how to spend the money. This is after you spent the money, do you pay the credit card debt or don't you? And the Republicans are saying, let's be deadbeats and let's destroy the credibility of America and the American dollar and absolutely pulverize our economy and the world economy. And the reporter's like, I can't tell who's right or who's wrong.
It's a look, okay. And they're doing it for politics. That's what I mean when I say Republicans are gonna Republican. And for Democrats to sit back and expect the media to cover this accurately and to call them out on their hypocrisy is ridiculous. In fact, this wouldn't even be a political opportunity for Mitch McConnell and Republicans if Democrats got rid of the filibuster. If they got rid of the filibuster, if they actually played hardball and accomplished things for the American people and the constituents who put them in that position of power in the first place, this wouldn't be an issue. But they're unwilling to do that. Instead, they give these embarrassing interviews like the one I'm about to show you featuring Senator Elizabeth Warren, where they're like, but why don't they just play ball? Because they're Republicans, they want to defeat you. Let's watch.
No choice. Why not just?
What is no choice? Why aren't you asking the Republicans about this?
Well, we are asking. They're saying they're going to block. They said they're going to block it next this week. So then what?
What reason?
Well, you know the reason. You've heard the reason, but I'm asking you.
Actually, I haven't heard the reason.
They say that they're not going to do it because of everything that's happening with on the Democratic side of the agenda. But regardless, if they're going to vote against it, don't you guys have the obligation to raise it on yourself?
Are we hostage to Republicans who are threatening to blow up a part of the economic system because they want to do that for politics? That's just not where we should be as a nation. None of us were elected to come here just to cause trouble so that the Republicans can get reelected.
You're hostages if you make yourself hostages, and they have made themselves hostages. We saw today on the House floor how Democratic lawmakers are willing to speak out against one another. This was in regard to the House floor vote on a $1 billion military spending, additional military spending for Israel. Rashida Tlaib voted against it, and then a fellow Democrat, Representative Deutsch from Florida, gets up on the House floor and calls her anti-Semitic. And it's amazing because you can see that they're willing to call each other out. So when it comes to the filibuster, yeah, you're gonna have the Manchins and the Sinemas who claim that they wanna maintain it, they won't get rid of it, but how about you break their backs?
Yeah, so look, this is actually really simple, and that's why—
Politically, by the way.
Nina Turner ran, that's why I ran, because if I'm being honest about it, there's no, on some issues now, finally, there's some plain spoken Democrats, Rashida Tlaib, Cori Bush, among them, but on issues like this, look, it's super simple. If that reporter comes to me and says, oh, well, the Republicans aren't gonna raise the debt ceiling, I've got a couple answers, the one I gave you earlier. And then second of all, you say, hey, listen, they're basically saying that we're idiots for trying to work with them. So we're not gonna work with them anymore. How's that? Okay, boom, I'm done. I'm done with the parliamentarian, I'm done with reconciliation, I'm done with the filibuster. McConnell told me to be. He said, what are you trying to work with me for? What are you, stupid? I'm never gonna give you a vote. Okay, then I don't need your goddamn votes because we have 50 Democratic senators. But they're not willing to say that. Why, guys? Why? Does anybody actually honestly believe they're negotiating with Republicans? And for what reason? No, they're negotiating with their donors. That's why they're pretending that they want bipartisanship when they don't need it at all. They don't need those votes. They're pretending that Manchin and Sinema are having heartfelt issues when Sinema's collecting checks on the daily from drug companies. We're not negotiating with Republicans, we're negotiating with donors. Now that's why I'm sick of the corporate media. Who in media is telling you that? Turn on cable news. The brave Rachel Maddow telling you that? No. They never talk about the real problem. The real problem is all these people take money from corporate interests and they serve them and they do this kabuki theater, and the media loves the fake theater, loves it, and is never gonna tell you the truth about what's happening. This issue is so easy and is 100% right. We just go in and we go, oh, okay, you guys don't wanna raise the debt ceiling. Get the hell out of the way then, that's it. We're here, we're doing it through reconciliation. Oh, parliamentarian, what are you gonna say? Please say no, you're fired, get the hell out. Next parliamentarian. It doesn't matter. You have the power, you're choosing not to use it because you love your donors so much.
This shouldn't even be a story. Like, I'm gonna be honest, this is an annoying, the fact that it's a story is annoying. Democrats hold the power. They can get this done without Republicans, but they refuse to do it. In fact, one last thing that I want to bring up. So what's the plan? What are they going to do? Because Republicans have made themselves clear. So are they going to do it through reconciliation? Are they going to have a carve out? What are they going to do? Like, are they going to get rid of the filibuster? Of course not. Debbie Stabenow, senator from Michigan, says, I don't know what the plan B is.
Yeah.
Plan B is to have Republicans step up and be responsible.
No, it's not. That's never going to happen. That you could do that plan A through Z. It's never going to happen. They're useless. I'm so sick of this game. And I'm so sick of the refs lying to you nonstop. Oh, Republicans, Democrats, we can't tell. Oh, Republicans, oh, they voted to increase the debt ceiling under Trump, but they won't under Biden or Obama. Well, I can't tell if that's right. Well, if you can't tell if that's right or wrong, you suck at your job. Go be a plumber. Nothing wrong with being a plumber. It's an honorable profession. But just being a courtesan of the powerful, it's disgusting. And Democrats, shut up already about the Republicans. Oh, we haven't gotten Republican permission. You look like weaklings and cowards asking the other party, your opponents, for permission to legislate when you have every branch of Congress and the presidency. And you're still asking pretty please. Either actually do your job or shut up about opposing Republicans. You don't even run in elections. Just let the Republicans win all the elections. Because they're your donors like them a little bit better anyway. You're paid to be patsies, pathetic.
All right, well, we move on from one Democratic disappointment to the next. Looks like police reform will die in Congress, where the Senate Republicans, of course, are not going to vote in favor of it. And so now there is a area where there's a massive disagreement about qualified immunity. And so the negotiations have completely stalled, and they're going to be stalled permanently. That's what the update is. So the House passed the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act in March, and Representative Karen Bass and the Democratic Senator Cory Booker have since been working with the Republican Senator Tim Scott to try to reach a bipartisan agreement on a bill that could pass in the Senate. But as I mentioned, these talks dragged on for months and months and months until everyone kind of forgot about it. And then today it was reported that the talks have just completely stalled. Now, the area of disagreement, of course, is qualified immunity. Qualified immunity, which police currently enjoy, essentially shields them from any civil liability for misconduct. Now, Republicans want to maintain that. They don't want to get rid of that. Democrats want to get rid of that specifically so police maybe think twice before they open fire and shoot unarmed individuals because they could be sued by their family members. Now, Cory Booker said, quote, "We made it clear from the beginning of our negotiations that a bill must ensure true accountability, transparency, and the policing standards necessary to bring an end to horrific incidents of violence Americans are routinely seeing, like the murder of George Floyd. After months of exhausting every possible pathway to a bipartisan deal, it remains out of reach now." And you guys are not going to be able to pass anything in a bipartisan way in the Senate unless it's a massive corporate handout bill like the bipartisan infrastructure bill. Unless you're giving corporations handouts, Republicans are not going to play ball. So I'm not really interested in hearing about any piece of legislation that they're working on in the House unless they're actually going to do something about the legislative filibuster in the Senate. Because otherwise, they're just wasting our time with nonsense negotiations that go nowhere.
Yeah, look, as usual, we have perfect credibility on this because we told you before, months ago. We talked about it in the address to Congress that Biden did. We talked it on several occasions. So that bill's never going to pass. They're never going to get an agreement because the Republicans will not agree. They don't actually want to do criminal justice reform. What they want to do is pretend to be doing criminal justice reform and delay it long enough until they get a Republican president. They're running out the clock. And schmucks like Cory Booker love to try to work with Republicans. Hey, Cory, I got news for you. They don't want to work with you. I don't know when you're going to get that through your thick head. You're really trying to do bipartisanship? Come on, man. This is so stupid. Like, really, is anybody that gullible? Oh, the Republicans, the deeply racist party that ran on the Southern strategy, which the whole point was to get racists to vote for us, and has now built its temple on the racist Donald Trump and worships him. You thought was gonna do real police reform? No, come on, man. Seriously, I don't know, man. Either Cory Booker is unintelligent or he just plays these games. And that playing the games is actually more sickening.
It is.
It really is.
And look,
you help run out the clock for the Republicans. Just do something. You have the whole goddamn Congress. Do you care about black people or don't you care about black people? Do you care about justice in this country or don't you? Oh, you can't say that to Cory Booker because he's black. I just said it. I just said it. I can say it and I did say it. Because you're wasting our time working with the Republicans when you know there is no chance that they would do real police reform.
100%. And look, Cory Booker is not dumb. He knows it. He knows it. And this is where I speculate, but I think that this is a good educated guess. I think they're terrified. I think they're terrified of passing police reform and then having Republican lawmakers who are vicious blame the uptick in violent crime on Democrats. That's what they're afraid
100%.
Of. 100%. So I don't think they genuinely wanted to pass this bill. Because here's what happens. When you genuinely want something, you'll stop at nothing to get it passed. And so if that legislative filibuster is standing in the way in the Senate, you're gonna do everything in your power to scrap it.
Guys, look, it's so simple. If I was president, if one of you were president and you actually cared about you, I'm dying to pass these bills, and you actually cared about it that much, what would you do? You would obviously get rid of the filibuster and you'd pass them all. Okay, Manchin and Sinema are a problem on some of the economic issues because of their corporate donors, etc. All right, well then you put them on blast. And you've got 2 years at least before the midterms to put them on blast and to put enormous pressure on them. Do you know that Kristen Sinema, after she did that theatrical downvote on minimum wage, lost 15 points in Arizona? All you gotta do is put a spotlight on them. They'll be polling at 20% within the month. But oh no, our beloved corporate Democrats, we can't ever touch them. Oh my God, what are the Republicans gonna say about me? I'm so sick of Democrats being cowards. You would pass, if you got rid of the filibuster, you'd get past criminal justice reform, you'd pass the debt ceiling, no problem, obviously. You'd pass voting rights, you'd pass anti-corruption laws, but they don't want to pass anti-corruption laws. You'd pass a $3.5 trillion actual infrastructure bill, but they don't want to pass that because they work for their donors. That's why we play all these games when Democrats can literally do anything they want right now. And if you were president or I was president, we'd all do this because we actually care. But the Democratic politicians do not care about you. They care about, oh, my beloved donors giving me millions of dollars. They care so much more about them. That's why you see this stuff. So if you're black in America, they just screwed you. You're gonna keep getting beat by cops. You're gonna keep getting shot by cops. Because the Democrats said, we care more about the parliamentarian. We care more about Senate tradition of the filibuster, which by the way, was always racist and used to block civil rights for its entire history. We care more about the racist traditions of the Senate than we care about black people, than we care about our own voters, than we care about Americans. That's what all the Democrats are telling you now. Now, to be fair, I should, because we actually care about the facts. To be fair, that's not true. Cori Bush and the progressives insisted on qualified immunity. And by the way, this is part of the theatrics of the Cory Booker crowd to go, oh, can you believe progressives actually wanted to make real change? Now we couldn't get a deal with the Republicans. They were about to do it. They were about to give real police reform, but because Cori Bush and the progressives wanted actual reform, now we can't get fake reform. Good, I'm glad they fought. Keep fighting. And by the way, for all the progressives in Congress, the corporate Democrats are not your friends. They're in league with the Republicans. They're trying to run out the clock on all of us, so none of this gets done.
All right, we're gonna take a break. When we come back, we'll give an update on Biden's immigration calls and how it is leading to officials quitting. Special envoy to Haiti has just resigned. We'll tell you why when we come back.
All right, back on TYT, checking out with you guys. More news.
Daniel Foote, the special envoy to Haiti, has resigned in protest of the mass deportations and inhumane treatment of Haitian migrants at the US border. The expulsion flights to Haiti, by the way, began on Sunday, and there were about 10 by the end of Tuesday, according to Haitian officials. US officials also say they are ramping up to 7 flights a day, which would mark one of the swiftest large-scale expulsions from the US in decades. But despite the mass deportations and the cruel treatment of these asylum seekers at the border, Republicans argue that the Biden administration somehow isn't harsh enough, while of course progressives are furious at how insanely violent and harsh the Biden administration has been toward migrants at the border. Very similar to what we experienced during the Trump administration, and the fact that some of the centrist Democratic voters aren't really calling Biden out on that is just fascinating, really, really interesting stuff. Now, in his resignation letter, Foote wrote, quote, "I will not be associated with the United States' inhumane, counterproductive decision to deport thousands of Haitian refugees and illegal immigrants to Haiti, a country where American officials are confined to secure compounds because of the danger posed by armed gangs to daily life. Our policy approach to Haiti remains deeply flawed, and my policy recommendations have been ignored and dismissed when not edited to project a narrative different from my own." And by the way, he mentions the inhumane treatment of Haitians and the mass deportations. I agree with him on that. But I have a bad feeling about some of his recommendations or what he's urged the Biden administration to do, especially in regard to meddling in the governmental affairs of Haiti, right? So I don't know exactly what his intentions are, but I'll get to why I'm a little suspicious in just a second. Now, US Ambassador Michelle Sisson is also expected, Sisson is expected to depart soon after being nominated to serve in another State Department post. And she adds another critical voice to the administration's response to Haitians camped on the Texas border. So before I get to my suspicions, Cenk, do you want to jump in?
Yeah, I'm curious about those suspicions.
Yeah.
Look, overall, our policy towards Haiti is miserable. So we've got the border police pretty much whipping them at the border. And then we barely helped them with the natural disasters, et cetera. All the things, I'm really curious about your theory, Anna, because all the things that this diplomat is saying seems to be true to me. And of course, there's a lot of CYA now, cover your ass at the Biden administration. No, no, it's not us, it's him. If you say so, but your policies suck, so that's a fact. And if you think you're winning over Republicans by being brutal to Haitians, turn on Tucker Carlson and see how that's working out for you. Every Republican is claiming that you guys are letting him in the country on purpose. Even as you're shipping them out and flying them out. There's a Republican congressman that went on the air today, just flat out talked about the replacement theory. Because they're now white supremacists without any brakes in the car at all. And he said, Biden's flying them around the country. He's using taxpayer money to fly them around the country.
He's getting Gitmo ready to detain them in Gitmo. I'm not even kidding. That's part of the story as well. By the way, we've been using Gitmo to detain undocumented immigrants seeking asylum. We've been doing that at least since the 1990s during the George H.W. Bush administration. That was when we were using Gitmo the most. It's not the same detention center that Muslims are being kept in some cases, Muslims that we know haven't even done anything wrong, but we continue to keep them detained indefinitely anyway, which is insane. But I do want to give you those details, okay? So the DHS, Department of Homeland Security, is currently looking to give a contract to a private company to operate the detention center at Gitmo. The service provider shall be responsible to maintain on site the necessary equipment to erect temporary housing facilities for populations that exceed 120 and up to 400 migrants in a surge event, the contract solicitation says. And just to give you a little bit of history on this, as I implied earlier, during the George H.W. Bush administration from 1991 to 1993, when many Haitians sought to flee the country to seek asylum in Florida, as many as 12,000 were sent to Guantanamo Bay under a policy overseen by then Attorney General William Barr, and I'm sure he had great pleasure in doing it. And I found this old report from back in 1991 to show you what the conditions were like as these Haitian refugees were, you know, seeking asylum and waiting to see what their fate would be. And it gives you a sense of how cruel it was back in 1991. I'm guessing it's not gonna be so great in modern days. Let's watch.
Curious eyes peer from behind the concertina wire as we pull up to Camp McCalla, one of the makeshift tent cities housing Haitians in Guantanamo. The kids don't seem to mind, but there's something troubling about children playing next to razor wire. Something frightening about a barefoot toddler wobbling past the metal stakes that hold up a tent. A big complaint here is lack of information, not knowing what's going on back in their homeland. This man listens for news on the small radio the army gave him. The only problem is it picks up only the Cuban stations and he doesn't speak Spanish. But they do have this, a big screen TV set up in a nearby hangar. 9 to 5, it's turned on to CNN, and about a dozen Haitians at a time are allowed to sit in. It's not much, but it's a luxury the Cuban refugees don't have. It may be the only luxury the Haitians have.
What do you want? You want my shoes?
Yes.
At least two boys want my shoes. Another one wants my watch. Looking around, it's obvious they have little to wear. And at dinner time, little to eat.
Man, it's just, it's heartbreaking what this country does to people, man. As our government destabilizes their country, as we do it on behalf of business interests, then we turn our backs on them and treat them like animals. Now looking to use Gitmo again to hold these people.
Do you guys know why Haiti was poor in the first place? It's because they led one of the earliest slave rebellions. And when they did, the Western nations that were wealthier punished them.
Yep.
And so they cut off trade with them, and they did a great number of other things to make sure that they starved the former slaves in Haiti, because how dare you rise up against the white man? And this is what we did, we brutalized that country for so long now. And now the Republicans say it's not brutal enough. Lindsey Graham's on television defending the whipping. He said that guy on the horse, the border agent that seemed to be whipping the Haitians with the reins of his horse, he says, that guy's here to protect you. Who's you? And of course, what he means is white people. I mean, racist white people, they're here to protect you from black people. How are they dangerous? They're desperate, they don't have any money. They went, you know, a lot of them actually came from Brazil and South America because they had relocated back in 2010. That is an unbelievable trek because they dared to believe and have hope in America. And the racist Republicans come here and shred them. And then Biden says, oh no, I could be really brutal to them too. I'll take the planes. They're not flying them across the country, they're flying back to Haiti. Okay, he said, I don't even want to hear it. We're going to ignore international law, we're going to follow Trump policy, and we're not going to even go through the process of finding out if they really have a legitimate claim of being a refugee that has a chance of staying here and getting asylum. Nope, you're not getting a hearing. We're ignoring American law, international law, we're going with Trump law. And now he's hiring people who might speak Haitian Creole for Gitmo.
Yep.
They're good. They put that job posting, and then when they got caught red-handed, they're like, "Oh no, it could be for anything." No, it can't. Really? Haitian Creole? I mean, they literally says that in the job description. So you're planning to put Haitians in Guantanamo Bay to appease Republicans? How's that working out for you? It's just stunning how dumb Democrats can be.
All right, so let's get to Foot and why I have a bad feeling. Okay, again. Take this for what it's worth, take it with a grain of salt. But apparently he's been very critical of the Biden administration for weeks and weeks and weeks. So even before this mass deportation effort of the Haitians. So for weeks, the Associated Press wrote, Foote had been quietly pushing in Washington a plan to boost US security assistance to Haiti to pave the way for new presidential elections. But Haiti watchers said he became increasingly disappointed with the pace of decision making in the administration. And he's also getting some praise from Republicans, including one Republican strategist who now works as a lobbyist on behalf of the Haitian government.
No, and I just want to be clear though. Yeah. That's the only Republican I've heard giving him praise, and he literally gets paid by the Haitian government.
I know, but this is relevant. No, this is relevant. Because here's what I'm concerned about. Like, the United States has a history of propping up these puppet governments, and that has not worked out well for places like Haiti. So it seems like part of this guy's frustration is that the Biden administration isn't working like quickly enough to prop up some new like Haitian puppet leader, you know? That's the way it's coming across to me.
I hear you. Yeah. I'm definitely not sold on that. I don't know. It's hard to know Foote's motivations, but him bringing attention to this important matter and the fact that the Biden administration is being generally terrible to Haitians is a good thing to me. So, but you know what? We'll ask him to come on the show.
Yeah, I would love that. I would love that because unfortunately, no one at the Associated Press elaborated on this. No one at the Associated Press asked him questions to you know, maybe fill in some blanks. Like, this is relevant. What does he mean by that? I want to know what he means by that.
Yes.
Right? Provide security for presidential elections in Haiti. Okay, but what does that mean? Does that mean we send in troops to Haiti? Like, who are we propping up? Like, what's going on? That's the important, relevant part to this. Great that he's, you know, condemning Biden's inhumane treatment toward Haitians. I totally agree with him on that. But I want some more details on this. Anyway, but to go back to that Republican lobbyist who now works on behalf of the Haitian government, he said this: when someone who is tasked with Haiti policy at the highest level resigns because recommendations are ignored and dismissed, it's not only troubling, but shows you this administration does not tolerate anyone who won't go along with their distorted view of the facts. Dan Foote is a world-class diplomat who refuses to be told what to do. I wish more foreign service officers had his courage to stand up and call out their bosses. So that seems like a totally benign comment, but you know, it's coming from a Republican who now works as a lobbyist for the Haitian government. What's going on? I want to like know what the underlying issue here really is.
I got you. My message is the same. Biden, Republicans don't like you, will never like you, will never give you any votes. It's not the 1990s. Grow up.
Yeah. All right. Why don't we do one more story? Pfizer's CEO is basically calling on his own employees, urging his own employees to help fight back against the budget reconciliation bill, which would allow for Medicare to, of course, negotiate lower drug prices directly with pharmaceutical companies, thus securing lower drug prices for Americans. There are other provisions in there, by the way, that would lead to lower drug prices for Americans in general. And so Albert Bourla said he was particularly disappointed that a House Democratic leadership-backed drug pricing plan and similar proposals, quote, will have little positive impact on patients where it really matters at the pharmacy. So he's claiming, you know, like he's sending this letter, this email, I should say, to his employees, and he's like, this is not, I mean, lower drug prices is really not gonna help Americans at all. Not at all. Americans definitely want to pay 2 to 3 times more for prescription drugs compared to every other country in the world. That's what Americans want. You know, I'm glad that the CEO of Pfizer is telling us what Americans want. Then he says, when we asked the Pfizer colleagues to develop a COVID-19 vaccine in less than a year, you did. When we asked you to rapidly expand manufacturing so we can produce 3 to 4 billion doses per year, you did it. Just wanna note that Pfizer did it because there was a money-making opportunity for Pfizer. I'm happy we have the COVID vaccine. It's effective, it's keeping people alive, it's keeping people out of the hospital. But for them to pretend as if like they've sacrificed so much. Pfizer expects $33.5 billion in vaccine revenue in 2021 alone. Pretty relevant, okay? So sacrifice is a funny way of phrasing this or framing it. Researchers, by the way, from Bentley University found that the National Institutes of Health provided $17.2 billion in funding for 10 technologies between 2000 and 2019. By the way, this is public funding, of course, taxpayer money, that were applied in the creation of COVID-19 vaccines. Some of the technologies were in wide use since the mid or late 20th century, but some, like the mRNA technology in the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines, were only established very recently. But the point here is, we the taxpayers fund the research and development, which then leads to the so-called innovation, right? The taxpayer takes the risk in helping them fund the research and development. They come out with the drugs, And then they turn around and price gouge us for the very same drugs, where we pay 2 to 3 times more compared to other countries. And then the CEO has the audacity to say, can you believe that they're trying to negotiate lower drug prices on behalf of Americans? We must defeat this bill. And he includes a link in the email so employees can write to their members of Congress and urge them to defeat the bill.
Yeah, so just to be absolutely clear, he's not actually asking the employees to write a letter to congressmen. No one knows better than the leader of Pfizer that Congress people don't care about letters at all.
They care about the money.
He's telling them, send the goddamn money, okay? Because remember guys, the money we're sending them is nothing compared to the billions of dollars that they're giving back to us. So everybody give a couple $100. These politicians are cheap. They'll do anything we tell them to do. So to prove that point to you guys and Anna's point too, let me start on that one. David Mitchell, founder of the independent nonprofit Patients for Affordable Drugs Now, explained that all 356 drugs approved by the FDA from 2010 to 2019 are based on research, basic science from the NIH. It's gonna hurt our innovation if we don't have billions upon billions of dollars in profits. First of all, that's not true. In fact, another independent group showed that even if you took away $1 trillion, this is an amazing number, $1 trillion in sales from American drug companies, they would still be massively profitable, and so profitable, it would still pay to do research and development. And he's like, oh, they're gonna take our ability away to quadruple charge Americans. Okay, so how are they influencing the corrupt politicians? And by the way, if you ever hear a reporter not refer to politicians as corrupt, they're not real reporters. Senator Kristen Sinema received $750,000 from pharmaceutical companies and medical device industries, including right before she said, no, I will not allow the government to negotiate drug prices. She had just received a check from the drug companies. That is outright legalized bribery. Any reporters go, no. Pfizer's just talking to her. It's not a reporter. They're a Praetorian guard for the corrupt. Now here's other Democrats that in the House said, oh, no way you're gonna lower drug prices for Americans. By the way, do you know how many Americans want lower drug prices through the ability of the government to negotiate those prices? About 90%. All the Democratic voters do, almost all the Republican voters do, all the independent voters do. They have nothing to stand on other than, hey man, I took bribes and I gotta deliver for the people I care about, my donors. So let me give you more examples. Peters, that's a Democrat in the House. He received $860,465 from pharmaceutical PACs and its employees. See, that's why the head of Pfizer saying, hey, all the employees, write letters. He means write checks to corrupt Democrats. The Republicans, we bribed every one of them. The Republicans are in our back pocket. You don't have to worry about them. They work for, they're our busboys, they're our waiters, they're our servants. Every Republican is corrupt, every single one of them. Okay, now we just got to get a couple of Democrats and we're home free. So Peters received $88,550 from the industry this election cycle. Oh, look at that, it's the most of any House member. So he gets the most money from pharmaceutical companies and turns around and says, oh my God, all of a sudden I'm worried about innovation, even though all the innovation is actually done by the NIH through taxpayer money. I'm so worried about it. After they gave me this $88,000, I became even more worried about it. Okay, then we go to Schrader and same exact thing, saying no, government should not negotiate prices, Americans should pay more. These are so-called Democrats. Their grandfather was an executive at Pfizer, so I guess money's staying in the family. They received $614,830 from the industry, and of course also are saying you should have higher drug prices. So bribery and corruption in America is just wide out in the open. And the reason why it's so open, so brazen, that the guy running Pfizer can just go out and give a speech saying, now everybody remember, bribe your local politician, okay? We're trying to get them to give us extra billions of dollars from taxpayers and rob them blind and just put it in our pockets. And he just says it on video. Not a care in the world. Sinema takes the checks. Peters, Schrader, they take the checks and they vote with the drug company. Not a care in the world. Why do they do that? Normally there would be consequences. Because our media sucks and they know our media is also corrupt, so they'll cover for them. You know what they'll get for doing that? They'll be called moderates. And they will say, oh, these are the reasonable people. Oh, the people who want lower drug prices, radical progressives, radical progressives. And by the way, radical right wingers in this case, because the right wing also wants lower drug prices. But the sane, wonderful bipartisan moderates, the corporate Republicans and corporate Democrats, delivered again and did exactly what this corporate boss told them to do.
Why don't we have a federal government agency of scientists that is publicly funded? Instead of giving NIH money to these private pharmaceutical companies, why don't we fund research and development for a government agency that actually does the research necessary to develop new drugs?
By the way, you can.
Why don't we do that?
By the way, you could do it the other way around too. I mean, it's just the robbery is unbelievable, guys. If you're a right winger, left winger, it doesn't matter at all in this issue. Okay, all right. What's the reverse? The NIH is the one that actually does the research, that right. actually does the innovation. So if you're an investor who put the seed money in to create a patent, to create a drug, etc., you would get a lot of return. That's how capitalism works. So why is the government giving it away? Shouldn't the American taxpayers get a giant percentage of the profits of Pfizer 100%. And those other companies?
Yep.
But all of a sudden, capitalism, what name so? They can't find capitalism. No, all of a sudden, oh no, the government shouldn't give anything to the poor. Oh, that's they're lazy welfare bums, right? But give away billions and ultimately over all these years, trillions of dollars that we could have had as taxpayers. Give it to the drug companies, bravo, well played, that's capitalism. No, it's not. That's crony capitalism, that's corporatism, that's bribery, that's corruption. And if we had real press in this country, you would all know it already.
All right, we gotta end our first hour. We're a little late, but it's all right. So when we come back, we'll talk about Kayleigh McEnany getting humiliated to the point where she had to delete a tweet about crime. And later in the show, we'll also talk about Mitch McConnell. Is he an alpha male? I don't know. We'll give you the details, you decide for yourselves. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.